Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode Forward Thinkers. Mein Name ist Daniel Fürk und für diese Episode habe ich mich in Helsinki auf dem Nordic Business Forum mit Liz Wiseman getroffen. Sie ist renommierte Leadership-Expertin und Autorin gleich mehrerer Bestseller, unter anderem das international erfolgreiche Buch Multipliers. Ich wollte von ihr wissen, wie Führungskräfte nicht nur durch ihre eigene Brillanz und Selbstdarstellung überzeugen, sondern das volle Potenzial ihrer Teams freisetzen können. Dabei gehen wir auch auf viele häufig unbewusst gemachte Fehler ein, die letztlich dazu führen, dass sich das Potenzial von Mitarbeitenden nicht voll entfalten kann. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören.
In an ever-changing world, we need to keep track of what will be next. Forward Thinkers is your 48 Forward podcast to discover the future. We are talking to innovative and creative minds from all over the world to learn more about what they are working on and what they think will change the way we work and live within the next decade. Are you ready to join the ride? Welcome to Forward Thinkers.
Liz, thank you so much for joining me here, taking the time during Nordic Business Forum. I just saw you on stage talking about geniuses and genius makers. Could you, for those who haven't seen you on stage, just briefly explain what the difference is and why it's so important that we are actually talking about that?
Well, you know, a genius maker is someone who does more as a leader than just bring their own intelligence. They're leaders who use and multiply the intelligence of others. You know, we find that a lot of leaders are really smart, but they can have a diminishing effect on people around them. They often are using their intelligence as a weapon. And, you know, I think we've all had experience with diminisher leaders. They walk into a room, people get quiet, they hold back, they play it safe, and really offer a fraction of their real intelligence and capability. And I contrast that to leaders who are multipliers. They are themselves smart, talented, capable. They bring insights, but they use their own intelligence in a way that provokes and amplifies the intelligence of their people. Sort of in short, these multiplier leaders are leaders around whom we tend to be at our best and at our smartest.
When you talked about all those things on stage, there was a little process starting in my head, and I was thinking about what actually transforms someone into someone who's acting as a multiplier, as an enabler, and what makes someone become a diminisher. So do you have an idea? Is it like education? Is it how they have been treated in their childhood? Is it something you learn through your studies? Is it something you learn by fighting your way through your career? Or is it a mix of everything?
Daniel, you've asked a question that's very close to my heart, because my current research is trying to understand what causes some people to show up as diminishers versus multipliers, and what happens early on in our life and in our work experience that enables that. But I think in short, and what we see is that a lot of diminishing is learned, and it's learned from our role models. I remember it was a week after I had published this book, and word was spreading. I was on a big radio show. And so a lot of people had heard about this idea. And I got a note sent to our website, and it was said, "Accidental diminisher seeking reform and recovery." And he left his number, and I was so interested. And I called this man, and he had founded a company. It had grown into like a global service firm. And he said, "When I heard you speak about diminishers, I could see myself in this." He said, "I think I am one of these diminishers." And then what he said really struck me. He said, "All of my role models have been diminishers. You know, my family programming was diminishers. I went into the workplace and every boss I had was a diminisher. Like I didn't know a different way of leading. And so he just defaulted to that way of leading. Now, there was another executive I was coaching, and I remember this experience so vividly because I asked him why it was so important for him to feel like he had answers and to prove that he was right. And I asked what I thought was an innocent question. And this man kind of pulled up his hair like this. And he said, "Do you see these scars right here? You know, on his hairline?" He said, "That's what happened to me when I came home from school with anything other than a perfect grade." He's like, "That's where it comes from." And, you know, so of course I've remembered this forever. It's like some people learn very early on that they have to prove that they're smart, that they have to prove that they're the smartest person, that they have to get it right all the time. So some people have had early life experiences that teach them this is what a leader is. And for both of these two individuals, I watched them make profound changes to the way they led, but it was not easy for either of them. The progress was slow at first, and then they started to see, wow, this is a better way of leading. But the programming was deep.
Which is interesting because you could imagine, without doing all the research you did, you could imagine that someone who has suffered from diminishes or who experienced diminishes wants to do everything differently when they come into a role of leadership instead of kind of copying the role models they had.
Well, I think the lucky leaders have had role models that were multipliers, people. And particularly the really lucky have not only had those role models, they've had them early on in their career. And so they can see what's possible. They learn early on that they are trusted, that they're given ownership, but also accountability that comes with it, that their ideas matter. But having a negative role model can actually be powerful because you see what you don't want to do. Like, I never want to be that kind of leader. It's one of the reasons why today I asked people to reflect on two different leaders, because most people will remember what it felt like to work for a diminishing leader, and they don't want to create that experience for others. I worry about the people who've never had a multiplier role model because they don't know what it feels like to be trusted, to have someone recognize your potential. But having the presence of both kinds of examples can be really powerful.
You talked about becoming a diminisher by accident, and you talked about a couple of characters we all have experienced and met in our lives, the perfectionist, the always on person, and so on. And you talked about how they see themselves and how others might experience that character. What do you think is the cause of that misperception? If you look at those characters, why is the perfectionist thinking that the way he or she acts is like perfect, and he does that all with good intentions, but doesn't see the negative effects of their own acting?
Mm. Well, the challenge of our accidental diminisher tendencies, why it's sometimes so hard to see, is really two reasons. Number one, every one of the accidental diminisher tendencies, idea fountain, always on, rescuer, protector, strategist, perfectionist, pace setter, rapid responder, they're all based in a strength. The problem comes when the leader overplays that strength to the point where there's no room for other people to demonstrate that strength. You know, if I'm coming up with all the ideas, there's no room for other people to need to come up with the ideas. So that's one challenge, is it's based in a strength, which seems like the leader should be modeling that. But these strengths are, you want them on a team. And so like the optimist is one of the accidental diminisher tendencies. I didn't talk about it today. It's also one of my accidental diminisher tendencies. So I have all this like positive can do. We've got this. We can do it. This is such a positive trait. But what you want, like where you want this belief that like, we've got this, we can do it, we can do hard things. You want that on the team. You want that across the organization. And so sometimes for the organization to build optimism, the leader needs to be a little less optimistic. The leader needs to do things like, what we're doing is really hard. We're going to struggle. This one is difficult. We're probably going to make mistakes. And when the leader can take temper that optimism with some realism and acknowledging the struggle, it creates room for the rest of the team to go, but yeah, this one's hard, but I think we can do this. So there's strengths that you want broad in the organization. And what that means is sometimes the leader needs to be a little less of it for the team to be a little bit more of it. That's one of the reasons why we often overlook our accidental diminisher tendencies. The second is human nature, is that we tend to judge ourselves based on our intent, and we tend to judge other people based on their impact. And so part of, I think, being a really good leader is aligning and reducing the gap between our intention and our impact. And that comes when leaders talk openly about their accidental diminisher tendencies. Like if everyone on the team knows that I have some optimist accidental diminisher tendencies, then people can tease me about that. I saw a wonderful example. This was a leader at Nike, and it was John Hoke, who was the head of design at Nike, an absolute optimist. And we were doing a multipliers workshop with his team. And when we get to the optimist, everyone, the room gets quiet and they all look at John and they're like, John, this is you. And he's the boss of this function all around the world. And he's like, well, kind of like he knew it was him. And they're like, you are so convinced that we can do things. It puts this pressure on us and we feel like we can never get it wrong. And it was like what they were saying is like, John, you have to stop telling us how brilliant we are and how amazing this is. Like, and so they had a really good laugh about it. And what I watched John do is spend a lot more time talking about what was hard. Like, okay, we have the Olympics coming up. There's a lot of pressure for us to get this right. Like, we're going to struggle with this. But it allowed his team to kind of call him out on this, and it allowed him to laugh at himself a little bit. And it changed the tone of the organization.
We talked about diminishers by accident, but there are also diminishers that are acting
on purpose.
How do we treat them to make it better?
Well, first of all, I think we remember that most of the diminishing is being done by accident. And so what do you do with the diminishers who actually are aware of what they're doing or don't have good intentions? Well, there's a couple options. One, we move them out of leadership roles. Now, I know particularly in this part of the world, it's hard to sack someone. It's hard to just say, you can't work here. But we can take them out of roles where they're having a diminishing effect on others. We might be able to put them in roles where they're senior designers, engineers, important thought leaders for the organization, where we can appreciate the genius that they bring, but realize they're probably not a genius maker. You know, that's one option. The other is to help them develop more multiplier skills. One of my favorite organizations is a German organization. SAP did such a phenomenal job with this. They decided they really wanted multiplier leaders, and they knew that they had diminishers in their organization. They introduced the ideas, and then they said, we're going to measure all of our leaders based on two factors. One is trust, and the other is engagement. How engaged are their employees? Now, some leaders really evolved and improved the way they led. But for those who just couldn't make it, the organization did such a great job of creating an off-ramp for them. They're like, well, you know what? Let's get you a coach, someone who could help you do that. And those who couldn't do it, they're like, you're great, but maybe not great in this kind of a leadership role. And they found a way to move them into a part of the organization and a different kind of leadership role where they weren't doing damage. And I think what they did so well was realize that that's not a change people can make overnight. And they need to find a place in the organization. I started this work thinking we needed to rid the world of bad bosses. And I think I've evolved my thinking to say we need to minimize the damage done by bad bosses. And you're right, it is a complex question.
If I look at classic leadership trainings and all those courses you can take, that whole concept is not very present still. Mm. Do you think more education, more awareness for those topics would help? And what would be your suggestion for a company to do the first step?
You know, the first step in this journey is for people to see their accidental diminisher tendencies. And there's a number of ways people can do that. One is they could read the book. There's also a number of really great training programs. There's two organizations that work worldwide that do phenomenal work with companies. One is a Nordic company called BTS, and they do these incredible business simulations, and they built a business simulation based on multipliers where you could go in and learn in the process of running a business and running a function, like what leadership actions have a multiplying effect and which have a diminishing effect. And those programs and that simulation is phenomenal. There's also another training company, Franklin Covey, that operates around the world that has a multipliers curriculum, you know, based on my research and based on the book. And they do a phenomenal job and work with multinational companies as well. Each of these programs helps managers build the skills, but both of them start with building awareness of how we can end up accidentally diminishing with the very, very best of intentions.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
It's my pleasure. And that was so easy. And you're so easy to talk to.
Thank you for listening. Did you enjoy the episode? Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you prefer listening to your favorite podcast shows. Forward Thinkers is a 48 Forward podcast produced in the 48 Forward Studios in Munich.